Now, listen to the chapel platform from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Those who speak in chapel, the morning worship service, and other services on the campus have been greatly used of God. After the hymn, you'll hear today's speaker, the late Dr. Gilbert Stenholm, who at the time of this message was still director of ministerial training at the university. He refers to events that were current at the time he delivered this message on Wednesday, July 6, 1977, at a summer chapel service at the university. The effects of sin will be magnified as long as we turn away from God under the temporary so-called pleasures of sin. However, sin will savagely turn upon those that practice it continuously. If our leaders are faithful to God and His principles, He will be glorified. It takes faith to continue trusting in God and to serve Him. Be sure to open your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 for the text. Dr. Stenholm's timely expounding upon coming trends is a warning simply titled, The Downward Trail.
It certainly is delightful to see such a great number during the second session of summer school. Glad to see some of the old students who are back on the campus taking additional work. We welcome all the new students who have not been here before, trusting this may be a time of spiritual blessing for you. I was interested in one of the reports that the preacher boy sent in. He said I was doing personal work with a man who wasn't very attentive to what I had to say, but he would listen from time to time. And as I was getting ready to go, he stood up and he handed me a quarter and thanked me for talking to him. I thought if we had a quarter for everybody we talked to, we'd be rich today. He said, that's the first time that's ever happened to me, and I suppose it'd be the last time, he said. But we always get interesting reports from these young men. To some of you old-timers, you recall that we used to have what we called slips from preacher boys' lips. A fellow going down the highway in his car, and he saw a hitchhiker. Kind of felt sorry for him, so he stopped by the young man and got out of the car and said he gave him some words of encouragement, then he drove off. He said another young man was being talked to about the Lord and asked him what he was. He said he was a boilermaker, and he said he sure was on fire. Well, we get a lot of interesting reports, and we praise the Lord for the work they're doing, and I hope you'll pray much for our students. It's very evident that the opposition is growing, and especially among preachers. You would think the men who stand in the pulpit, believe the word, and who call themselves fundamentalists would back up these young men and the young ladies as well who are doing personal work out in the field. There's a lot of opposition, efforts being made to thwart the work that our students are doing, but we thank the Lord for their enthusiasm, for the courage, and for the way the Lord is blessing them. Now, if you'll turn with me to Zephaniah, which is in the Old Testament. I'm sure that we don't read this book very often. And there are books in the Old Testament we do neglect to read. But I believe it has a lesson for us. And I was thinking as we celebrated on Monday our 201st anniversary of America, how much this passage reminds us of what we're facing today in our country. God had said to the Israelites, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now let's remember that God never goes back on any promise He ever made. God cannot lie. God does not procrastinate. This seems to be our characteristic. When God says something, He says, thus saith the Lord. And He expected these people to live for Him, to be a testimony among the tribes that were against them, the Philistines, the Amorites, the Moabites, and so on. And God selected them that they might live for Him and be a testimony to all with whom they came in contact. But they rebelled against the Lord. They even wanted to get back in the flesh pots of Egypt. They couldn't endure hardness as good soldiers. They couldn't stand against the opposition, the difficulties that surrounded them because they were God's people. And you know, there's a great deal of similarity today in our country. I suppose we have the greatest country in the world. We ought to be grateful this morning. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad that our forefathers came to this country, that we might have a new birth of freedom, that we might enjoy the things that the Lord has in store for us. And when we look back in our history and think of some of the great giants that God sent to us in our history, who preached the unsearchable riches of Christ behind the pulpit, who did not flinch, did not back off, but stood deliberate, true, and high for the sake of Christ. Now today we find ourselves somewhat like we read about these people. In the first verse it says in the third chapter, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice." Now God speaks clearly to those that are His. We are seeing things today that we wonder how it could ever take place. What's happened to our nation? What voice is our men listening to today? There's only one true voice, and that's the voice of our Lord. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, there are many voices today, many men who have started some kind of a sect or a cult and are giving the impression to the people that they have the solution to all the problems. You can go on the highway in your car and listen to the radio. You can watch on the TV and listen to these men that sometimes will tell you a half-truth. And perhaps it sounds logical to a lot of people, reasonable. But when you study it carefully and listen to what they have to say in the subtle way in which they present it, you realize they are not speaking in behalf of God. It's satanic in its efforts. Now, usually on Sunday mornings, and I'm sure that some of the men that have churches within reasonable distance of Greenville turn on the radio and we'll listen to a certain broadcast. You listen to the quartet as it sings with blended voices, the same hymns that you and I sing. They'll read from the King James Version. And then there'll be a message by the speaker, usually the same one, on some prophecy. Well, now, if you listen carefully to what they have to give, they're very cautious as they present that particular message, because knowing it's on the Lord's Day that we celebrate, and they're going to be cautious, but at the same time, they're real subtle. At the close of the message, they'll say, "If you'd like to have some of our literature and some of the materials for your study at home, among your family, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you'll send it to us, so and so," and they name the city. Now, it sounds good. It sounds rather nice. But you know, the trouble today is that most people have their interest in the cults and the sects because they're not getting doctrinal statements and doctrinal truths in the pulpit. They're not getting the real teaching of the Word. And so they're listening to all kinds of voices. And thus the Israelites listened to many voices during their time. And they rebelled against the Lord. And I'm glad of one thing, and maybe this is said many times by our faculty and staff and alumni that come back. I thank God that this university has listened to the voice of God. How many schools today in this country are taking the stand that we've taken, upholding the Word of God, being directed by the Holy Spirit, as we endeavor to train the young people to go out into all walks of life to serve Him? And we are appalled. We are grieved when we see how the schools are falling to pieces and deteriorating because we've gone away from the Bible, from the truth, and we're not listening to the voice of God. Then it says, "She received not correction." Now, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is one of correction, teaching us how to live, teaching us our relationship to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to His Word. And We just don't want to be corrected. An evangelist will come to a city, and he has a meeting, and people say, I don't like him. He stepped on my toes. We have students that come to Bob Jones University that rebel against the rules and the standards that we have on this campus. Well, now they're here for a purpose, that it might develop into you character, that you'll have the conviction to stand true when you get out into the world and face the onslaughts that are very obvious today. And I thank God that our students out on the field today as a whole are taking a stand for Christ. They're not yielding to the pressure of the hour. They're making it known that they are Christians. They believe the Word, that they stand for Christ. And they're willing to take correction. I know how it is, human nature. We rebel when someone corrects us. It was that way when we grew up and our parents were telling us what we ought to do. And we figured they didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't seem to understand. But you know, you look back, young people, and you better praise God for a discipline in the home, for a discipline in the school, that you've made discipline a part of your life. But the church today does not want to be corrected. It doesn't want to be told that sin is sin, that this is black and that's white, this is right and that's wrong. We've got to get back in our preaching and our teaching to the fact that sin is sin. It's black, it's destroying, it's deteriorating. And today our society has gone the way of all flesh because it did not want to take correction. The Israelites didn't want to be told. Why can't we be like the countries over there? Why can't we be like the Philistines? We want a king. We'd like to marry those daughters and sons. We'd like to carry on activities with those nations. Why can't we? Well, God had a definite will and purpose for them to be separated, to be an example, to stand true, so that others might know Him. Now, the church today, and I'm speaking of those that are believers in the Lord, I think it's tragic that we find ourselves today with churches going every kind of a direction. And you begin to wonder, who is on the Lord's side, as Moses said when he came back? What seems to be the problem with our churches? What's the problem today? Well, we're not willing to be corrected. We're not being told, and that's another thing. Men will not stand in the pulpit and give us correction and admonish us and exhort us to live for Him. Now, the Israelites had seen the power of God in many ways. And to think that they wouldn't even listen to the Lord who had taken them out of the land of Egypt and given them an opportunity to go to the promised land. Now, God's been good to us, young people. We ought to thank God that we have our place here on this campus, that God is giving us an opportunity to go out and to be His stalwart leaders and soldiers of Jesus Christ. To those of you that are new, and all this may seem like a terrific adjustment, but I know as time goes on, as the Lord tarries and you're permitted to stay here, you're going to see why this school was founded by our dear Dr. Jones Sr., a man who had an unusual vision that God gave to him, and how we enjoyed the corrections, though sometimes they were pretty rough. And we realized it was for our own good to build our character and to give us convictions to stand up and declare ourselves unequivocally for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, she trusted not in the Lord. I think this is one of the most tragic statements. Here is a nation that God had blessed, whom God had led out of Egypt through trials. When they needed something to drink, it was there. When they needed manna from heaven, it was there. Whenever you want something and it's God's will and purpose, He'll supply it. They wouldn't even trust in the Lord. And thus today, as we look around our surroundings, look at the average church today. How many churches today are trusting in the Lord? We're trusting in a program. We're trusting in this particular thing and that particular thing. And we feel like it's going to solve our problems. But listen, there's only one who can solve our problems. That's the Lord. And to think here's a nation that made no effort whatsoever to trust in the Lord. We have a coin today, and the coin says, "In God we trust." We have other places where you see that motto, "In God we trust." I'll always remember when I went with one of our graduates to the House of Representatives in Washington. It was during the time they were going to vote on prayer in schools. And we listened to the liberals as they gave their views, and we listened to the conservatives as they gave their views. And there were different ones that stood up and declared themselves, how they stood on this matter. And as we listened, we began to feel that, well, not so sure we're going to get a majority. Wouldn't it be terrible if they voted against having prayer in schools, and yet they're tolerating pornography, textbooks that make a mockery of God and bring up evolution and things that are contrary to the standards that made America? And the last one to speak, I always remember him. I, of course, known of him when he played baseball, Vinegar Mizell. He was the representative from the Winston-Salem area. And he said, "Mr. Chairman, may I have a word?" And he was recognized by the chairman. He said, "Mr. Chairman, I am ashamed of what's taking place in this house today. I grew up in a Christian home. I had a Christian father and a Christian mother. And as I've been listening to these men who are radical and liberal, I recognize that our nation is going to go the wrong path if we don't turn around." He said, "I played baseball. I had a career. I had success. But I realized that I needed the Lord. I got saved. And I thank God for the prayers of my godly father and mother. I thank God that I went to a school around Winston-Salem where they had prayer opening in the morning. But I'm ashamed as I stand before my colleagues today to recognize the fact that you are trying to take out of the school the very thing that made this nation. You don't want to trust in God. You want to trust in material things, in careers, in success and prestige, but you're not willing to recognize the Lord." And there was a tremendous applause from those in the balcony as he uttered these words. And, of course, the chairman pounded on the gavel for silence. Then he continued to tell what the Lord meant to him. And he said, "Now, you see behind me a clock. You've seen that clock every day from the time you were elected to the House of Representatives as you've attended these sessions. What does it say above the clock? It says, 'In God we trust.' Yet today you're trying to take prayer out of the schools, and you're trying to bring in other things to substitute prayer, to destroy our morals, our character, and make it difficult for our boys and girls who are growing up under conditions that are not normal." Again, he received his applause. He said, "Many of you today who are here have stationery, document papers. What does it say on those papers? It says, 'In the year of our Lord.' In the year of our Lord," he said, "why don't we just eliminate this motto above the clock and take the motto out of the coin and eliminate 'In the year of our Lord,' be consistent." Again, the applause. When the vote was taken, we lost by a few votes. The comment was made by our graduate, "Looks like we're on the downward trail. Looks like our nation doesn't want to trust in God. Here are men that have been elected by the public, by the people, the taxpayers. And as their representatives, they are denying and not giving the privilege of our boys and girls to have prayer in school. Instead, we find violence, opposition to decency and respect and spiritual things." And thus, as we read one of the articles by Mr. James Kilpatrick, a correspondent, who said that in Chicago alone, in the schools, over $2 million is spent just to put new windows in the schools. How tragic that today in many of the schools you have to hire security forces to protect our boys and girls when they go to the restrooms. How terrible to realize that 70 members of the faculty of schools were killed last year by the students. 70,000 faculty members were assaulted and abused by their students last year in the United States. But you can't have prayer in the school. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. The leaders of our day have no recognition of God. They will not trust in the Lord. And then it says, she drew not near to her God. How tragic. I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And yet she failed the Lord. She did not respond. She wasn't interested. She didn't draw near to God. She wanted to have a good time with the enemies and enjoy what they had to offer. And you know, the church today has become a social nightclub. The dances, the homosexuals, the sinners that are now allowed to do things in churches that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God, where actually now the churches are determining whether they're going to ordain homosexuals to minister in the church. Where they have their bingo parties. Where they're allowed to do most anything they want. And I have here an article that I had some time from Madison, Wisconsin. The Joint Finance Committee of the Legislature Wednesday approved for the introduction in the coming session a bill that would permit church recreational centers to obtain liquor licenses. It was introduced by an assemblyman in Milwaukee who said it would permit church recreation centers to have licenses for the sale of liquor and beer. Yes, social nightclubs. It's tragic when you see these churches today that are built in the past by men and women that had conviction, by men and women that believe the Bible to be the Word of God. And thus today, it's become not a church, but a place where you can sin and enjoy it and have a good time and forget God. Now, there has to be some reason for all this, and I must hurry. In the third verse, you know, no nation rises any higher than its leaders. As your leaders go in the nation, so goes the nation. And it says, her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones until the morrow. Not only that, but no nation goes any higher than its pastors and its Christian leaders. You can determine pretty well what a church is like when you see the pastor of the church. The Sunday school teachers, the deacons, the members of the church. And when the pastors in the churches fail in their responsibility, so do usually the members. It says in the fourth verse, her prophets, shall we say her ministers, are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. In other words, pastors have said, okay, we'll give in, do what you want, think as you want, do as you please. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. You don't have to believe the Bible is the Word of God. You don't have to believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures. You don't have to believe in a literal hell. Just do what you want to. Well, that's exactly what's happened in our nation today. But I thank God for a minority, a few, who have not yielded themselves to the pressure of the day, but have stood true to Christ. And I trust this school will ever do that. I pray that our faculty and staff and student body will keep this school right till Jesus comes. And as a result, when your leaders go the way they do, and when the pastors go the way they do, then all you have to do is read the last portion of the fifth verse. The unjust knoweth no shame. There's no shame in America. We see the horrible pornography. We see all these various buildings that are being built today to lure the people in, to destroy any morality they have. And yet it goes on and becomes more furious and more grievous and more tragic. And the unjust knoweth no shame. We need to develop more character, more ability to stand true to God. And I trust that as we're now going into another year of this country, and we're facing the onslaughts of Satan, that you and I may look up to the Lord and say, Lord, help me that I may be true to Christ, that I might give my testimony for Him, and God will bless and use us. May God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this hour for the joy that we have of sitting in this auditorium, of attending these classes, of listening to teachers who have dedicated themselves to the ministry here. Now, Father, we thank Thee for this school, for the impact it's made around the world. And our Father, as we've read this tragic lesson of this morning, we pray that we may never fall into that condition, but that Thou wilt bless us and use us, and that we might be a power for God. And Lord, help us to be faithful and true to Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, just send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29614. Please mention the speaker, Dr. Gilbert Stenholm, the title of his message, The Downward Trail, and also be sure to mention today's date. Join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.